food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
We have Greg Hunter joining us today. I first want to do our special. I'm going to continue along the same lines of our 1/10th ounce American gold eagle coin and 90% silver, $28 face value. Gives you about 20 ounces of silver. And the price is a little reduced, $526. And that's the great thing. That's $526. And that's a great thing when you buy these small packages like this. We had a big drop in gold today, $20. But what? We've seen a correction over this period of time. That I've been running this for about a week of $4. So, you know, really not because they're fractional pieces and because the silver is priced and everything is priced really, really cheap, you were not as affected as you would have if you had bought the 1 ounce. I mean, sure, if you bought 10 of these, then yes, you would have been. But so also we have the 1/10th ounce American gold eagle and 20 silver eagles. If you're interested in that, that had a little bit more of an impact, but that price today is $545. $545 for the silver eagles along with the 1/10th ounce American gold eagle and $526 for the 90% silver quarters or dimes. Along with the 1/10th ounce, give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. As I mentioned, gold currently down 20 10 on gold at 1,229. Silver is down 15 at 1,630. Platinum is down 10 at 1,005. And palladium is down 16. At $537. The USDX today was, of course, higher at 95.61, up 3.7. Crude oil, 48.78, up 70. And the paper markets today had a huge rally in the markets. I mean, it was up 200 points all day long, didn't budge. 213 points, 17,706. The NASDAQ up 95, 2%, 4861. The S&P up 28 at 2076. 10-year yield, that was up a little bit, 0.02 at 186. Euro 111 down 0.72. And both London and Germany had huge gains in the markets. Germany was actually back up over 10,000, 2.18%. Asian markets, of course, were down. China, once again, was down. So there were a few things that, of course, impacted the markets today. And, you know, again, the end of the month. And last week when we had pressure on gold options expirations, that always puts pressure on gold and silver prices. And so we might have seen that a little play out, and that's certainly putting the pressure on gold carrying through to this week. But, you know, all eyes are focused, all comments are focused on Janet Yellen. All eyes are, you know, seeing what she's going to do. Everybody's eyes are focused on the Brexit. So it's, I think come June, I think we'll see different numbers in the precious metals.
I think one of the things that you can correct me on this, but it's my understanding that historically, statistically, the second quarter is always, is usually the worst month of the year for gold. Is that true?
Well, I mean, going into the summer months, you always have the summer doldrums in the precious metals, but it was anything but doldrums, you know, after 2008 through this, you know, through the summer. So, you know, usually if you have something last year, it was a very active summer. It started off in the first part of June, July.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. The end of June is the end of the second quarter. I'm just saying we had a fantastic first quarter. We've had a poor second quarter.
But you
watch and see. Third and fourth quarters should be.
But usually the summer is when you have your slowdowns in gold. But depending on what's happening. But certainly April, you know, with taxes and everything. But there was a strong U.S. home sales report today. It showed the best pace of sales in 8 years. You know, so that kind of worked in favor of the U.S. dollar. There's an OPEC meeting also June 2nd in Austria, you know, so who knows what's going to come out of that. And again, going into 3-day weekend, they always have a nice up week for the stock market. So when everybody gets together for their picnics, they have something to talk about. They'll feel comfortable with spending their money on their vacations, knowing that their retirements or a little bit higher.
Does this mean they'll be buying hamburger instead of hot dogs?
I don't know. It's probably a little bit, probably the better buy is a steak, but anyway.
All right.
But it's great buying opportunities. Fundamentals are the same. It's discouraging, you know, to see, you know, trying to get over that 1300 mark, but we knew that was a big resistant level. And, you know, the timing just wasn't great. Plus all the manipulation that comes with the out of the Federal Reserve and the central banks and the government. You add that to it, and hey, we're sitting here at 12:30. So, but that you shouldn't be discouraged. You should look at it as a buying opportunity. The fundamentals are intact, and we're just getting started on this second bull market in gold.
All right, let's see. Is Greg Hunter here yet, or are we a little bit premature?
Greg Hunter's here.
Ah.
Okay. Good. Oh, Greg.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Greg. Thank you for joining us.
This is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. He provides some of the best interviews and video interviews on the internet. USAWatchdog.com. Where are we going to start today, Greg? What's most important to you?
Most important to me is Saudi Arabia. Last week I did a thing about Saudi Arabia. You know, they were talking about selling U.S. assets, and you know, as some kind of a payback for, you know, the Senate.
Vengeance is ours.
The Senate passing this legislation and releasing the 28, you know, the secret pages of the 9/11 report, and allowing families to sue if the people in the Saudi government had a hand in it. The problem is I think people in our own government. Oh God, there I said it. Had a hand in it. I mean, there's just so many that you can't make sense of Building 7 just falling down and being announced that it was going to fall down 8 hours after planes did not hit it.
Yeah, I know. They stole what, 4 planes, and one crashed in a field, and they still got 4 buildings were hit. That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
4 planes were hijacked. One crashed into a field, and they still managed to hit. This is like pool, you know, with an imaginary cue ball or something. How did you get four with just three planes?
Yeah.
Excuse me, how did you get four buildings with one? Yeah, that's it. That's what I meant.
Yeah, and you know, you can't explain. There's all kinds of stuff on my site on Building 7 if anybody wants to go on the my favorite section. There's you just cannot explain that unless there's some stinky, fishy stuff. The building goes into free fall. It looks like
No way. No way. I'll tell you something that I've told people for a long time. You can go out in the backyard and you can build a structure the size of a doghouse, build it out of steel rebar, all right, just rebar, no big deal. Wire it together at the corners. Don't even solder it. That building fell in, what, something like 10 seconds or less?
Yeah,
you can't take that doghouse apart with a torch, with a bomb. You can't do it. You can't do the same thing with a doghouse made out of rebar and wired together at the corners.
So here's my two-pronged point. My two-pronged point is last week was, hey, maybe they won't do anything, you know, to punish us. Maybe they just need the money. Moody's just downgraded their debt. Incidentally, Moody's just downgraded Deutsche Bank, but it was up today in the crazy, manipulated, fraudulent world we live in. But Deutsche Bank, one of the biggest banks in the world, one of the biggest banks in Europe, the biggest bank in Germany, it was downgraded. It also admitted to some more, mortgage admission that it rigged stocks. I mean, this is looking. Lehman is looking. Like, if you look at Lehman in the chart, it's on an up little uptick now. It was $14 a week or so ago, but it's a 17 something. It was 150 or something a couple of years ago, year and a half ago. It was a few months ago. It was 50. This is not a good sign. But back to Saudi Arabia. So it's now saying that the Saudi press is saying, well, hey, the U.S. blew up the World Trade Center to create a war on terror.
Well,
I don't know if people realize this, but those towers were designed to take a 500-mile-an-hour strike by a 777 jet airplane.
Yeah.
That's what they were
There's
designed
no way
for.
They
That's
fell it. On their own, and particularly,
well, building
if
seven,
the plane hit it hard enough to knock it down, why did the building fall sideways instead of vertically?
I always say, well, let's just give them towers one and two. You can't explain nothing hitting Building 7. The planes didn't graze it. It didn't hit it. It never touched it. But all of a sudden, it became unstable. It just became unstable 8 hours after that and fell straight to the ground. They ought to be firing the builders. They ought to be suing the hell out of the builders of Building 7.
They should be going to our engineering universities because there's obviously something wrong with fundamental engineering theory in this country if we can put up skyscrapers and they can fall in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with the fundamental theory they're teaching kids in college. Somebody's got to straighten this out. All the buildings may be unstable.
Well, they're talking about the Saudi press. Well, the Saudi press is a royal family, furious over the Senate's unanimous vote approving this bill, said 9/11 victims can sue Saudi Arabia. Well, I don't know if Saudi Arabia is going to, they're in a credit downgrade. They are laying off massive amounts of the workers inside there. They have a lot of guest workers. They're paying workers, also the ones they do have, with IOUs, and their credit rating was just lowered. And I'm wondering if they don't need the money, like China and Russia also selling, Brazil also selling treasuries. And I'm wondering how maybe these people just need the money because the economy has slowed down so dramatically they don't want to take a hit.
Counterattack. It's just saying, we're broke. We got to have some money.
Maybe they're just selling their treasuries.
Interesting, though, Saudi Arabia threatened to sell their bonds, and it was presumed they had somewhere around $750 billion worth, if I understand correctly.
$750 billion of assets, and they supposedly, there's an article out in one of the papers, but you don't know if this is true. I mean, we live in an empire of lies. They have $115 billion. That's a significant dump of
treasuries. Actually, that doesn't strike me as that significant because it's only about a month and a half of quantitative easing back in 2014. We're putting out $80 billion a month during quantitative easing. This is a month and a half's worth of quantitative easing. I don't think that's significant. I don't think that's a big threat.
Well, Josh Earnest thought it was a big threat. If he was in front of the White House press corps.
It's not peanuts, but it's still
Well, he was talking about selling $750 billion of assets. Now, they say they have $115 billion in treasuries. Is that true? I don't know. How much is off book? I don't know. You know, it's like, do you believe the inflation rate is, 1.1% or whatever? John Williams says it's about 7 or 8%. So, but here's the thing. And the thing is that there's all kinds of shaky signs, and 9/11 is now claiming what's worse than them actually selling their bonds is for the blowback back on the U.S. government to say, hey, the U.S., they're actually saying the U.S. Claim that U.S. planned the attacks in the World Trade Center in order to create a global war on terror. Now, that's a big charge.
And it's not only a big charge. If we can sue people in Saudi Arabia who were involved in the crash of the destruction of these buildings and 3,000 lives lost, if they can be sued, if it's true that the United States government was implicated, they will come into they'll be dragged into these lawsuits.
Well, yeah, there'll be discovery. And when they start flipping the national security card out, what do you mean a national security card? What's our national security? And, what we got after that, we got the Unpatriot Act, we got, an invasion, we got a war on terror that's, the money never stops. And of all the stuff that went down, you just can't explain Building 7.
No, you can't.
You just can't explain a building that wasn't hit.
They claimed they had a fire in some waste paper basket that triggered this whole thing. That's just crazy.
Come on.
That's like living in grass huts or something like that. Yeah, that's possible. This is a building made out of steel and stone.
And sunk down to the ground.
Yet the public bought it. There is the problem. I mean, it's astonishing they knocked the buildings down, but isn't it even more astonishing that the public went along with the explanation?
Well, yeah. I mean, nobody would think that the government would be that evil, but apparently... there's so many holes in the official story, it's not even funny. And the other thing is they didn't really treat 9/11, the site, because it burned for 1,000 hours. They didn't really treat it like what it was, and that was a crime scene.
Yeah.
They loaded up all the evidence, and they damaged the crime scene, and then they took all the stuff out to, some landfill on Staten Island, and they didn't let anybody, it wasn't a real good independent inspection of that. I mean, I think the problem with this 28 pages from 9/11, that's going to bring up a whole lot of questions.
It'll bring up lawsuits, and that's when the questions begin to fly, and then we're going to see some real, shucking, jiving, diving for cover. This is going to be an extraordinary story.
It's like the Kennedy assassination. They go, hey, we have the Warren Commission report. Okay. And just a guy with a gun, right? It's just a guy with a gun. That's Lee Harvey Oswald. Just a guy with a gun. One guy with a gun, right? Just that's it. There's no conspiracy, right? Okay. Release the whole Warren Commission. Oh, no, that's sealed till 2050. Release all the autopsy photos, right? Just a guy with a gun. They won't do that either.
That's because they're protecting the privacy of the Kennedy family, and my objection to that is, I don't care about their privacy. Somebody shot the President of the United States and killed him, and privacy ends at that point.
We
want to know what happened.
We had a change of power without an election. That's what we had.
Yeah, I understand.
Yep.
That's what we had. Here they are. I just talked on the phone with Vannarino. He calls me and says, see what's going on in the markets? I said, no. He says, the Dow's way up, the Nasdaq's up, and you know what this tells me? I said, what's this? It says Wall Street ain't buying that the meeting, quote-unquote, is live, end-quote, for a rate hike in June. There's no way. And if that's the case, there is no way. No way. I give you a 0% chance of there being a rate hike in September. What? So they won't raise rates 6 months before a presidential election, and you think Janet Yellen is going to raise rates 6 weeks before an election?
Yeah.
She's a big Democrat.
They either do it now or they don't do it this year. That's what it pretty much comes down to.
It could be in December, if Trump wins, they'll raise rates.
That's why I think they'll do it. They'll do it in December.
And then they'll raise rates and, look, Donald Trump took over. Look, it's terrible.
Yep.
Look how good Obama did.
Let's take a break here, Greg. We've got to take a couple commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Some of the best interviews, best videos you'll see on the internet, USAWatchdog.com. You interviewed Dix Weir days ago, and he outlined his reasons for believing that we were on the verge of some sort of an economic calamity, probably a crash. And he thinks Deutsche Bank is going to be the trigger. In large measure because of the derivatives. They are the largest derivative holder in the world. Can you explain that to the audience where they understand the significance of Deutsche Bank and its derivatives?
Derivatives is leverage. So you can make a lot more money with leverage than if you could just be a one-on-one bet, right? So derivatives is leverage. It also creates false demand. Derivatives are debt bets, and they have something like 70 trillion. Now this is a bank in Germany that Germany itself has 3.8 trillion in gross domestic product. One bank with what, almost 20 times the gross domestic product of the country it's in. The other thing, he brought up the fact, and so did I. I actually posted this story about how Deutsche Bank all of a sudden decided to come out. This is in Belgium, and pay a 5% interest rate. And oh yeah, you got to get it done by June 24th, and you got to lock it in by June 24th, which is what, the last full week of the second quarter.
Yeah.
And he is suspecting this, and they don't have the Basel, amount of money. They don't have, a pad. They've had all these losses. They need cash. They have to have cash to stay solvent. They're just trying to make it out of the second, into the third quarter. They're trying to make it out of the second quarter into the third quarter, which, wow, what a weak bank that is. And if you look at...
Which implies that they're on the verge. They are now grasping for straws, which means implies they are on the verge of going under.
They just had their debt downgraded by Moody's. There's another warning sign. and they're two grades above junk. This is Deutsche Bank, two grades above junk. And, you know, I know their stock is up today. They just admitted to rigging the stock market. They just admitted a couple weeks ago to rigging the gold market. They rigged the futures market. I mean, they're just crime. It's just organized, government-sanctioned, organized crime globally, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And so, but still, you know, you can't, you know, you can't, what did Abe Lincoln say? You know, just because you call a tail a leg doesn't make it so on a dog. Just because on a dog you call a tail a leg doesn't make it so. And so, one of his main reason why he thinks it's going to be one of the triggers could be, but there could be so many triggers. Deutsche Bank is just so weak. I mean, they're, you know, if you overlay the trajectory of Lehman Brothers, trajectory before it went under, you know, a 2-year chart, it's just almost the identical trajectory as Lehman Brothers. And so, and Lehman Brothers, I mean, and Deutsche Bank makes Lehman Brothers look like a, you know, looks like a piggy bank.
Yeah.
They're huge.
On the one hand, all of this implies that the Deutsche Bank problem will have earth-shaking consequences. On the other hand, Deutsche Bank's problems imply that there should be many forces and institutions in Europe and the United States working to save Deutsche Bank in order to save themselves. What's more likely to happen? Will Deutsche Bank implode or will Deutsche Bank be saved?
I don't think they wanted to implode. They, you know, I remember Christine Lagarde was mad at Hank Paulson for allowing Lehman to go under. But we have so many more dangerous institutions now. I mean, I had William Black on, professor of economics, professor of law, and a professor and expert in white collar crime. He says, you know, every day, just in America, every day we're rolling the dice on 25, and he doesn't call them systemically important, systemically dangerous. 25 systemically dangerous institutions every day. And then around the world we have about 35. So we got about 60 systemically dangerous institutions that could zig when they should have zagged every day. And they got such small capital, you know, and so much and such high leverage, you don't need a big loss to wipe out your capital. And look what they're doing with Puerto Rico. They're cutting some deal where they can reorganize debt, which means bondholders are going to take a hit. Can you imagine if you're in Puerto Rico and you try to issue a bond? Can you imagine what interest rate you're going to have to pay for that?
I understand that. And why would you issue the bond, at least in large measure, to pay off existing bonds? You're just rolling your debt.
We do that. We do that, but we can print money.
I understand, but it's coming to an end.
Well, it's just you got all this interest by big players in gold, and I don't think what's going on today is down $15 or $20 today, and I don't think that is a big. I don't think the rich care.
No.
I don't think big money. I mean a guy, you know, somebody that wants, you know, somebody with $1 billion or $2 billion or $150 million or whatever, you know, 300 ounces of gold doesn't really help him. Yeah, that's a nice gift for my son or my nephew or whatever. But 300,000, you know, 300 ounces of gold doesn't really help them. They need bars. They need, you know, they need kilos. They need, you know, the big bars. They need bars. They need tonnage. If you want to really put stuff in gold, put assets in gold. And that market is supposedly very tight. So
according to
I had Jim Rickards on, who actually wrote a book about gold. And he said, you know, I actually went over to Switzerland where they have some of these mints, and getting the source material, I mean, whether it's scrap or ore or whatever, they don't call it ore, they call it something else, but that's what it is, ore. He says getting the source material is very difficult, and there's no storage. It's melted, minted, put into bar, it comes out the other end, and there's a claim on that bar. There are people, you know, sending armored trucks. I had B, the guerrilla economist, who works for a big gold company, and they try to source gold for people. And he says, there's no back. There's no storage in the bar market. You're just trying to source that is very difficult to try to get gold. And they get down with our order, and we have to wait on it. And we send a truck over, and we'll put it right on the truck. They're literally almost taking it right off the end of the conveyor and putting it on an armored truck and whisking it off to some vault. That's unbelievable.
That's pretty extraordinary. Well, you know, it lines up a little bit with the news from COMEX that they've allegedly got 540 paper ounces of gold, paper claims on gold for every ounce of physical gold they have at COMEX. And what that makes me wonder is this. Is COMEX really a market? Or given that only one claim out of 540 will actually win an ounce of gold, is COMEX really a lottery? Is gambling in New York illegal? Could COMEX be sued for running an unlicensed lottery?
Oh, I don't think the government would ever allow that. I think they're following the...
Well, I get that. It's a hypothetical kind of question.
Yeah, but you know what?
Do they have a market or do they have a lottery?
Well, it also means there's a lot of, the 542 is what it is to one, paper claims for every 1 ounce of gold is also an indication of extreme demand. I forgot who told me that another way to look at it is it's not just fraud, which it is, but it's also extreme demand. When you're getting that kind of 540 to 1, leverage on gold, that is way demand, and which shows you that the price action, it's down today. It's the demand is so high. And then the price is going down. The demand is huge because people buying it go, wow, we got a discount today. Buy all you can.
So well, I agree. I agree. But it appears, you look at this and it's hard to make these facts correlate. All right. It's apparently the laws of supply and demand have been placed in suspension. When demand goes up, price is supposed to go up and it's not going up.
Well, because there's just so much of this illegal, fraudulent. But at some point, I keep saying this, but at some point this ends. I had somebody on my site talking about trading, and you didn't trade out, and you lost all this information. You're not trading. You're basically you're picking the right direction of a rigged casino. That's really all you're doing. And then I just had a woman by the name of Helen Chapman, who wrote a book called J.P. Madoff. Now, this is stunning, folks. I have her on, and I'm talking to her. This is going to be up past midnight tonight. And I said, they were claiming they got 12% return. Did you guys know? Did anybody ever bring out in the press? I follow the press pretty closely. Did anybody ever say in the press, Madoff never had a single security? You got a statement that said you had Amazon and BP and Chevron and Walmart and whatever. No, you didn't. Not a single security. And the people that helped Madoff was J.P. Morgan.
Yep.
And J.P. Morgan knew that there were no securities, that no securities were being bought. They knew it. And, there's a Bank Secrecy Act that says the banks need to be watching what's going on in their account. This is no small account, folks. This was a $65.8 billion fraud, and J.P. Morgan was complicit. Actually, they pled guilty and paid a $1.7 billion fine to avoid criminal prosecution. But they pled guilty, I think, to at least one felony. What they were doing was laundering money for Bernie Madoff.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's all documented in her book. I'm giving you just stop for a minute. You mean to tell me they would send out a statement to, John Smith, and John Smith would say, wow, okay, what do I have in my Madoff account? Oh, wow, I got Amazon. I've got Microsoft. I've got Chevron. I've got Barrick Gold. I've got no. Yeah, that's right. Phony. Fake. You had nothing. You got nothing. Is that unbelievable?
Yet we do the same thing with our paper dollars.
Do what?
Greg, let me ask you a question, Greg. This is my conspiracy question on J.P. Morgan and Madoff. Do you believe Madoff's son committed suicide?
I don't know. We did have a lot of banker deaths now, didn't we? And he was basically he was going to be charged, right? He was charged, was he not?
I can't recall if he was charged, but
all the people in the office down to like the bookkeeper spent some time, got some type of jail time. Madoff, he's done. He's in prison, arguably for the rest of his life, unless somebody pardons him or he gets some kind of a break or whatever. Unless he gets off some time reduced or something. He's in 40 years or something. He's a good long time. And I want people to know about. Please take a look and at this Bernie Madoff fraud, which is a huge fraud, but it, compared to the entire fraud of I've had William Black on saying their main goal on the big banks is fraud. Their main income source is fraud. And this woman, you go to her website, jpmadoff.com, and there's the Wheel of Misfortune. And you know that JP Morgan in the last 4 years have paid something like nearly $36 billion in fines.
Yeah.
One charge settled after another, one after another. That's a fraction of what they really made. That's just the cost of doing it. $36 billion. That's like Dell Computer and $10 billion to spare. This is on her website, but here's what I want people to concentrate on, because everybody at Madoff was, wow, I'm making 12%. Things are great. I'm really kicking some ass. That's what they told the people there, making 12%. That's total bullshit. That's what Mercopolis was saying, that there's no way they could be making this money. Well, they didn't know. I mean, they gave out a list of the stocks, but there weren't any stocks. I mean, they total fraud. And so, but here's what I want people to focus on. So this was this big Bernie Madoff fraud, right? But yet the banks have all these different, you know, mortgage frauds and LIBOR rigging and Forex frauds and money laundering and mortgage fraud and S&P. I mean, what Deutsche Bank, one of the things that just had another pled guilty to what? Rigging the damn S&P? Rigging the stock market. Everything is a giant fraud fest. Now,
let me ask you this.
Hold on, wait a minute. Let me finish my point. So, Bernie Madoff, this is how fast this ended for Madoff, okay? He went out to a Southampton home, had a lovely weekend on a Friday night, went out on the LIE, him and his wife. They went out to their beautiful palatial Southampton home. They had a lovely weekend. He came in Sunday night like he always did around 9 or 10 o'clock. Came in, went to his Upper East Side apartment, got up the next morning, took a shower, went in, and by 9:30, he was in handcuffs, and he's not seen the light of day since. That's how fast frauds end. This fraud in this economy is so, people think, oh, well, they'll keep it propped up forever. Nope, it's man. It can't be propped up forever. It won't be. They'd have to do more and more and bigger frauds and more extreme. Now they're just out in the open fraud, just out in the open rigging, out in the open. Of course, the mainstream press is a bunch of lapdogs bought and paid for. They won't bring up a thing about this. And I'm telling you, though, frauds, in all my experience with, and I did a lot of fraud investigations at ABC and CNN, frauds and boom, just like that. Boom. Just one day you're everything's fat and happy, and the next day, bam, the cops are putting you in cuffs. That's how fast, and this is what's going to happen in these markets that people are playing in, and, well, I need to make more money, and this is why you buy gold and silver. You buy stuff so you can get yourself, extract yourself from the fraud.
Yeah.
And still,
in other words, you don't trust
your
piece
wealth.
Of paper. You have to hold it in your hand. In order to be sure you're not subject to fraud, you have to hold that asset in your hand, and it can't be just a
or
piece of paper.
Or have complete clear title to it, your clear title car, clear title property. You got to have completely and totally clear title, artwork, farmland, a house, houses, apartments. Jim Rickards was telling me in my interview, I said, do you have any stocks? He said, well, the only thing I have are startups. Whoa, that means that's not on the exchange. He won't have any stock on the exchange. He'll only have startup, stocks and companies. That's why Warren Buffett, when it buys the stock, hell, he buys the whole company. Look at him buying, what is it, Burlington Northern or Northern Pacific, whatever is that railroad line is, one of the big railroads. He bought the whole thing. So he's not on the exchange.
I'll get that. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. We have to take a break for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival with our guest, Greg Hunter from USAWatchdog.com. Greg, in the previous segment, you were explaining that the big banks were making most of their profits from fraud. Has that always been their business model, or have they been forced to engage in fraud when the, or at least increase in fraud, when the Federal Reserve imposed zero or near zero interest rates? If they can't make money lending, how are they going to make it? Is fraud one of the options?
I can't let the banks off the hook. I mean, the fraud is something that grows, and you get a little more, and they can't take the hit, and they get all this. And I would say that ever since long-term capital management back in the 90s, you know, that's when the fraud really started taking off. I mean, after long-term capital management in 98, this has been kind of a growth process. This is kind of, we've grown into the fraud. And, you know, instead of getting, a crackdown and letting, washing out some of this debt and getting these derivatives on a, you know, as Brooks Lee Bourne wanted to do on exchange, you know, what we got was we got the Glass-Steagall repealed. And the Modernization Act, you know, the Financial Modernization Act, which allowed, you know, Citi to buy Travelers and, you know, all these mega banks to get too big to fail. Actually, they're systemically dangerous. And then we got the dot-com bust, and then we blew another bubble. Then we got the housing bubble, and then that busted. Now we're on another, you know, sovereign bubble. You know, the canary in the coal mine is places like Puerto Rico. They can't pay the debt on their bond. They just cut a deal in the House, they haven't signed it yet, to basically reorganize the debt. In other words, bondholders are going to take a hit. And that's a deal that they're going to allow other, and that's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, all these other cities, all these, you know, these municipalities, California, New York, up in Illinois, they're all going to cream bondholders and cream pensioners, and they promise too much. This is what happens when you promise stuff there's no way you can ever deliver. Same thing, you know, you print too much, you deliver too many promises, and you don't have enough income to do it. This is just an evil alliance with campaign donations and to both sides at the top. This is why, you know, you hear these, you know, the criminal cronies, you know, they call them the conservatives. You know, they're talking about voting for Hillary because she's a criminal crony. You got the criminal cronies in the Democratic Party wanting to vote. Unbelievable. And listen, and people are getting wise. At least half of the voters, Bernie Sanders, you know, they've been painted as, oh, they're a bunch of socialists. And Bernie Sanders is a socialist. Well, they want a bunch of free stuff. But listen, let me tell you the biggest plank, or two of the biggest planks in his platform. This is why he's resonating. A, the banks are criminal. We got to rein them in. That's A. B, these trade deals are horrible. I'm up last night watching Barack Obama in Vietnam talk about how great the Trans-Pacific Partnership is going to be for them and how many jobs they're going to get.
Yep.
Has he ever given that speech over here? Hail to the no. Why? The only story I ever see USA Today or anybody else do was that the jobs would be about a wash for the TPP. They'd create 600,000 jobs. They'd destroy $600 jobs. Oh, we're going to give you some training. Well, what do you bet the jobs that they could destroy are the high-paying jobs that go overseas for less money?
Yep.
And it's a secret trade deal. Is Obama over here giving a big speech on how why that we all are get behind the TPP? Why is he giving that speech about their jobs? About, oh, this is going to be good for you. You're going to make jobs. Why is he giving a speech over here about the jobs he's going to create? Because he doesn't want the jobs. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about black people. He doesn't care about little people. He doesn't care about any people other than the people that pay him to be a crony. Same thing with the Republicans. And so it's unbelievable that he's given this speech. I'm thinking, I'm looking over my wife going, what? He's giving a speech about jobs in Vietnam? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read the article on that.
Is he giving a speech over here about jobs in America for the TPP? No, because there aren't going to be any. This is what Trump means when he says the trade deals are horrible. This is what Bernie Sanders. So you're back to Bix Weir talking about how there could be a Trump Sanders ticket. I don't think that's going to happen because Sanders has a lot of socialism / communism baggage. But I'll tell you what will happen. What will happen, and polls have already shown, there is when they dunk Bernie Sanders, and I'm not sure they're going to dunk him just yet. When they dunk Bernie Sanders, those voters are going to go, oh, well, you screwed us, and the whole process is unfair, and the rules make the thing rigged, and we're going to vote for Hillary. No darn way. They're going to vote for Trump. A lot of polls are out there saying that there's a pretty significant, one of the bluest of blue states, West Virginia. Of course, Hillary didn't help herself. We're going to get rid of your jobs. Guess what? She's going to get hammered there. She's doing terrible. I want something else I want people to consider. Donald Trump is strong despite the fact that the criminal crony class in the Republican Party tried to hold his head under the water. They couldn't do it, and he still comes off strong. Hillary Clinton comes off incredibly weak despite the fact that the rules are rigged in her favor with the superdelegates, and the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, is propping her up, and she still can't put away Bernie Sanders. I think he's going to win California. And the weaker she appears, the more likely it is that she's going to be indicted. There, I said it. For anybody, she won't be indicted. No. Do you see this Terry McAuliffe thing that just went, this bomb? You see this turn in the punch bowl? And then we have Peter Schweizer, who wrote the Clinton Cash book, who has a Clinton Cash movie, says, I think it's really the larger thing. Here's the larger thing. Forget the emails. Why did she have a server in the beginning, in the first place? Why would she have a server? The FBI, you think the FBI is not going to ask that question? Because they didn't want to have four devices to carry. That ain't going to wash. She had a private server, in my opinion, to sell favors out of the State Department, line up speaking fees for her ex-president husband, Bill, and do favors for quote-unquote donations to the Clinton Fraud Foundation. That's what I think she had a private server, and she could cover that all up, that crime. Mm-hmm. That's what I think she did. That's, come on, let's get real here, and the mainstream press won't even bring this up. They won't even touch this. You have people like Chris, Cuomo, on there having an interview with Clinton. They already interviewed her chief of staff and her top aide, Amadin, And the guy that set up the, you know, the homebrew server, they say, in her basement, which was backed up on a cloud that nobody had any security clearance. So right there, boom, she broke the Espionage Act, as far as I'm concerned, whether she meant to do it or not. It's gross negligence under the Espionage Act. And on top of it, this Guccifer, who's the one that broke in and bragged about breaking into her server. And oh, by the way, yeah, there were 10 other IP addresses from, you know, like places like China and Russia. There are other people who had been in there, too. He just cut a deal. He's going to testify against her. The weaker she looks, the more chance that Obama's going to let this fly. He says he's not going to get in the way of the investigation, but the weaker she, they're going to get rid of her anyway. They'd like to run, I think they'd like to run Biden and Elizabeth Warren.
I wouldn't be surprised, but they're going to have a hard time getting around Bernie Sanders.
Well, I mean, I think Bernie's going to win.
I'm not saying
California.
They can't do it. I'm not saying they can't do it.
Maybe they'll cut a deal with Bernie Sanders. Maybe they'll make him the. That's why he stayed in. I mean, Clinton looks incredibly weak. You can't win. You can't win with the help of the Democratic National Committee and all these phony superdelegates, and you can't put this guy out. Oh, man, she looks weak.
Yeah.
And how did she even get as far as she has? I mean, why did they allow her to be where she's at today?
They thought that she would be the
Good
winner.
Lord.
They thought that she would be this woman card, and they didn't know. They had no idea that that not only would Trump take the gloves off, he's sticking on. He's getting pipes and sticking on. Knuckle. He's putting on the brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles.
He's gonna punch. He's gonna destroy her. You haven't even seen him yet. They you heard Sarah Palin during the McCain campaign. Okay, we can really go after these people. No, we can't say anything. Because at the top of this criminal crony system, you know, that's why you have Laura Bush saying, I think maybe Hillary Clinton might be a good candidate. What? Or you have, you know, the Charles Koch. Oh, maybe she might be a good president. Well, you what? Because they want the criminality to continue. They want the Trans-Pacific Partnership ripoff, where our own president talks about jobs in Vietnam and won't mention it over here, and it's secret. Did I tell you it's a secret trade deal? Did I tell you it's secret? It's secret.
Yep.
It's classified,
they need
as they say.
They need to keep their crimes covered up, too. So.
Well, this, and then back
thing.
To the,
yeah.
the Saudi press. Oh, my, you have no idea. Yes, they say in the hood, paybacks are an MF. And you have no idea that the blowback that could come back on the United States, what the Saudis know and what they may release. You have, if the Russians may release, they may have all those emails. They may dump them onto the world market. They may dump them onto the world stage just to completely cream Hillary. You might, if things get dicey, you might have Putin come out one day and, you know, I have an announcement to make. Yes, we did hack that server. We've known everything she's been doing. Since for 4 years straight, we knew exactly what she was doing. Remember, I don't know if I tell you this, but about 2 weeks before 9/11/12, and you can go on my site and get this, and Putin is out there saying, and I can't remember his exact quote, but he was saying, you know, when you arm, this is the context where he's saying, when you arm terrorists, you don't know how that's going to go. That can blow up in your face, you know? That was 2 weeks before 9/11/12. And what were we doing? Huh? Taking guns and stuff up to Turkey, and lo and behold, it ends up in ISIS's hands.
What a surprise.
Do you think he just got lucky?
Yeah, that's what people, what's astonishing to me and amazing and insulting to me is if they're going to lie to me, I wish they would at least give me lies that I might be able to believe.
You know,
they don't even bother giving you credible lies anymore.
We just had a general go to Syria. He's uninvited. Now he went. He just went and just went into Syria, and he's talking about the training the Kurds. Okay, the Kurds are legit. Okay, but he's training the Arabs. What? Excuse me. You mean what Arabs? You mean the Free Syrian Army? That fantasy? Or are you talking about Al Qaeda and ISIS? Because that's all that's there. Training who? We spent $500 million. We trained five. One, two, three, four, five. Five. Not 50, not 500, not 5,000. Five. $50 million. Tell me there's not fraud going on with all this.
Yeah, I understand. Let me ask you a question a little bit off this. We'll talk about Rob Kirby for a moment. You interviewed him, and your headline for the article on that interview was Global Elite Making Preparations for Post-Dollar World. All right. We're not talking about a diminished dollar. We are talking apparently about a dead dollar. And if we can believe Rob Kirby, we're talking about this event maybe happening this year.
Well, at least a dollar where the world reserve currency, I mean, think about all the debt. Do you think people are going to keep taking these dollars that are notes? Dollars are notes. Dollars are notes, Federal Reserve notes, debt instrument. We're paying people a debt. What a great deal as long as they take it. Until people go, whoa, because the notes are derived from the bonds. You're not going to be able to pay all these bonds off. This shit's not going to be worth anything. Look at Puerto Rico. Here we go. We're going to reorganize. We're going to give you a haircut. Oh, that sounds nice for me losing money. So I, you know, it's going to we're going to be in a world where we're going to have the CIPS, which is the China International Payment System, CIPS, CIPS. And he talked about that, and that, you know, when that gets fully up and running, people are going to get around the dollar. I just saw a big, big deal done between Iran and India. India has rich in minerals, and they need oil, and Iran will probably take the minerals and take the raw material and then trade oil. I mean, we're talking about a deal between India and Iran.
They won't involve dollars.
Jump, and they're in their quadrant of the world, basically. I mean, it's not all right, you know, exactly next door to each other. But still, I mean, they're talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is people just have no idea what's going to happen when all these dollars come home. Or, heaven forbid, they start coming home. And as Jim Rickard says, well, you know, the president has emergency powers. He can just call over the Treasury and just stop, you know, stop redeeming the bonds. Oh!
They don't redeem the bonds.
Huh?
Well. The government, you can say they redeem the bonds with paper dollars, but it's not the same as redeeming them with gold, for example.
Well, yes,
who redeems the paper dollars?
But
you and I do. When you get paid with paper dollars, you go out and find somebody who will give you a new flat-screen TV for a couple $100 bills.
Well,
the guy, he's the one who's redeeming your $100 bill. The government doesn't, by law, they don't redeem the $100 bills. And the bonds are not necessarily the same thing, but it raises an interesting question.
Could you imagine if we had to, A, print all the money to cover the $16 trillion held outside the country, or B, if all of a sudden, guess what, we're not going to redeem any bonds. Either way is a disaster. Can you imagine that?
Oh, I understand. The way the dollars and perhaps the bonds are going to be redeemed is they are ultimately going to come and buy private property here in the United States. Government's not going to pay the debt. The American people are going to pay the debt by selling their homes and their cars and their land and God knows what else in return for paper dollars that have been hidden overseas.
If it gets bad enough, do they just say we're going to come up with a new dollar? Thanks, suckers, for the money. We'll do a Puerto Rico. We're going to devalue your debt. Thanks. Sorry, you don't get our stuff. Sorry.
Well, we'll watch and see. We certainly live in interesting times. We want to thank you for being on the program, Greg.
Yeah, hey, thanks for being on. You got to divorce yourself from the fraud.
Well, the main message of this program may be that the establishment in the Republican Party and the establishment in the Democrat Party are two sides of the same criminal enterprise. We'll be back tomorrow. I want to thank Greg Hunter for being on the program from USAWatchdog.com. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer, and Greg Hunter. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too fast.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man.